We next present the reader with a table of versions of the New Testament showing the several languages into which it has been translated, when the translations were made, and the word representing baptizo in each of the languages which we copy from Bailey's Manual, pages 121, 122, and 123. Following the chart from left to right. Version, date, word, meaning. The Syriac Peshitto. Date, 2nd century. Word, amad, meaning, immerse. Syriac Philozinian, 6th century, word, amad, meaning, immerse. The Arabic Polyglot, 7th century, word, amad, meaning, immerse. The Arabic Propaganda, 1671, the word, amad, meaning, immerse. The Arabic Sabat, 1816, word, amad, meaning, immerse. The Persic, date, 1341, word, Shusten and Shuzedan, meaning wash. The Ethiopic, 4th century, the word tamaka, meaning immerse. Amharic, date 1822, word tamaka, meaning immerse. The Egyptian Coptic, date 3rd century, word tomas, meaning immerse, plunge. The Egyptian Sahidic, date 2nd century, word baptizo, meaning immerse. The Egyptian Basmuric, 3rd century, word baptizo, meaning immerse. The Armenian, date 5th century, word mergurdel, meaning immerse. The Slavonic version, date 9th century, word krestiti, meaning cross. The Russian, 1519, the same root, kretisti, meaning cross. The Polish, 1585, word, same root, kretisti, meaning cross. The Bohemian, 1593, kretisti, meaning cross. The Lithuanian, 1660, same root, kretisti, meaning cross. The Lovinian, 1685, same root, kretisti, cross. The Dorpat Esthonian, date, 1727, word, same root, kretisti, meaning cross. The Gothic, 4th century, the word, dapion, meaning dip. German, 1522, the word, taufen, meaning dip. Danish, 1524, dobe, meaning dip. The Swedish, date, 1534, word, dopa, meaning dip. Dutch, etc., date 1460, word dupen, meaning dip. Icelandic, date 1584, word skira, meaning cleanse. The Anglo-Saxon, 8th century, the word dipan, meaning dip. Anglo-Saxon, 8th century, word fulion, meaning cleanse. Various versions in the Latin family of languages. Of the early fathers, 2nd century, tingle, immerse. Ante-Hieronymian, 3rd century, word, baptizo, meaning immerse. The Latin Vulgate, 4th century, baptizo, meaning immerse. The French, 1535, baptiser, meaning immerse. The Spanish, 1556, baptizar, meaning immerse. Italian, 1562, baptizan, meaning immerse. Wycliffe's English translation, date 1380, word wash, christen, baptize, meaning immerse. Tyndall, 1526, baptize. The Welsh version, 1567, bedidio, meaning bathe. The Irish version, 1602, bystim, meaning bathe. The Gaelic, 1650, baistean, meaning bathe. Here are 38 versions of the New Testament made at periods extending from the latter part of the 2nd century to 1822, none of which represent baptism by a word indicating to sprinkle or pour, 19 of which represent it by a word meaning to immerse, 6 by a word meaning to dip, and 1 to plunge, while others use words meaning to bathe and cleanse, which manifestly refer to the same leading thought. But it is insisted that the Syriac word amad means to pour or shed forth. In support of our table of versions, we offer the following testimony as to the meaning of this word. Shaf, amad, to bathe oneself, to bathe, dip, immerse into water, baptize. The Syriac Lexicon, Lyons, 1708. Michaelis, amad, to bathe, baptize, immerse. The Syriac Lexicon, Göttingen, 1788. Guido Fabricus, amad, to baptize, dip, bathe. The Syro-Chaldean Lexicon, accompanying Antwerp Polyglot, Antwerp, 1592. Buxdorf, amad, baptize, dip, bathe oneself. Chaldee and Syriac Lexicon, Basel, 1662. Biza, after remarking that baptizo properly means to immerse and never to wash except as a consequence of immersion, says, nor does this signification of amad, which the Syrians use for baptize, differ at all from this. Appendix to Stuart on Baptism, page 249. Ullman, amad, to suffer oneself to be dipped, to suffer oneself to be baptized. Amad, dipping, baptism. The Syriac Grammar by Hutchinson, page 359. Ephraim Cyrus. Ephraim Cyrus was a native Syrian who lived in the 4th century. Speaking of Christ, he says, how wonderful it is that thy footsteps were planted on the waters, that the great sea should subject itself to thy feet, and that yet at a small river that same head of thine should be subjected to be bowed down and baptized in it. Gotch's Bible Questions, page 130. These definitions and examples of the meaning of amad are quite sufficient to sustain our table of versions as to this word. But it is further insisted that the German taufen signifies to sprinkle or pour. If this be so, our table needs correction at this point. Let us see how this is. Luther says, the Germans call baptism tauf, from depth, which they call tief in their language. As if it were proper, those should be deeply immersed who are baptized. And truly, if you consider what baptism signifies, you shall see the same thing required. Luther's Works, Volume 1, page 72. Wittenberg, 1582. Heinsius. Taufen signifies in a general sense to plunge into water as a balm is dipped in pitch and rosin. In a more limited sense, to immerse in water in a religious way. German Dictionary, 4 volumes, Hanover, 1822. Smelthenner. Taufen, in Old German, Taufian, from Taufa, which signifies tiefe, that is, deep. Consequently, it means to immerse. Etymological Dictionary, 1834. Kaltschmidt. Taufen. To immerse. Eintauchen. To consecrate to Christianity. To name. The German Lexicon, Leipzig, 1834. Schwenk, taufen, to immerse in water, especially to purify with water for admission to the Christian Church. Taufen is the same as tauchen. Etymological Dictionary, 3rd edition, 1838. Gemthe, tauchen and taufen were originally the same. The act expressed by taufen was performed by immersion, untertauchen. At present, the word taufen retains its proper signification, overwhelm with water. Gemthe's German Synonyms, 1838. Wiegand's German Synonyms. Taufen, originally equivalent to untertauchen, to dip under, signifies in its religious use to immerse in water. Knapp's Theology, Volume 2, page 501, Andover edition, taufen is incidentally defined. This great German scholar says, Baptisma, from Baptizein, which properly signifies to immerse, like the German taufen, to dip in, to wash by immersion. Webster and Worcester each give taufen as the German synonym of dip. Surely these authorities are sufficient to establish immersion or dipping as the meaning of taufen, the German word representing baptism. The Chaldee word seva is also brought into the service of sprinklers in modern times. Gynesius defines it thus, to dip in, to immerse, hence to tinge, to dye. Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon, page 891. M. Stewart says, the Syriac has a word like the Chaldee tseva, which means to plunge, immerse. Christian Baptism, page 155. Thus it will be seen that there is not much appearance of sprinkle or pour in it. Having viewed the word baptizo through the light of 34 lexicographers, 70 commentators and critics, numerous examples of its use among the classics, and its representatives in 38 different versions made at different times and in different countries, and everywhere found that its primary import is to dip or immerse, and that the laws of interpretation require us to retain the primary meaning unless good reason be found for its removal, we are now prepared to open the New Testament and see what the Lord required of those commanded to be baptized. The Commission. To the apostles Jesus said, "Go teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 28 and verse 19. Here he who was possessed of all authority in heaven and upon earth commanded his apostles to do something to which the obedient of all nations were bound to submit. We have found a rule of interpretation saying, to every word in Scripture there is unquestionably assigned some idea or notion, otherwise words are useless and have no more signification than the inarticulate sounds of animals. What particular idea, notion, or thought is attached to the word baptizing in the commission given by the Lord? Did he employ the term in its ordinary current signification, or did he attach to it some figurative or tropical meaning? If he used the word out of its current signification and gave no notice thereof, we see not how he expected to be understood by those who heard him. Unless a command is understood, it cannot be obeyed. Hence we see not how persons are to submit to baptism when they know not what is required of them. Therefore, as it was necessary that he should be understood in order to be obeyed, we conclude he used the term baptizing in its ordinary or current acceptation. And if so, he commanded the apostles to immerse the people, for we have shown this to be the current meaning of the word used by him. Indeed, if the word means to sprinkle or pour, it is difficult to see how the command can be obeyed at all. For the command requires the people to be baptized, and not the water to be baptized upon the people. If sprinkling or pouring be the act required, then it is the water or element used that is baptized, and not the people. For it is certainly water that is sprinkled or poured. We are aware that Paul says, "When Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people." Hebrews 9 and verse 19. But we regard this as no valid objection to the position we have taken, for Paul's language was evidently elliptical, as may be seen by reference to the historical account of what Moses did. "And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, 'All that the Lord hath said we will do, and be obedient.' And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, 'Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words.'" Exodus 24, verses 7 and 8. Hence, the ellipsis in Paul's language being supplied, it means that Moses sprinkled the blood upon the people. But we may ask, is not the commission also elliptical? Suppose it is. This will not affect our argument at all, as may be seen by supplying the ellipsis. 1. Teach the people, sprinkling water upon them. 2. Teach the people, pouring water upon them. 3. Teach the people, immersing them in water. Though the ellipsis be supplied, it changes not the act indicated. The government is not changed when the ellipsis is supplied as to immersion. The object of the action expressed by the participle is the people. Hence, they are immersed. But as to the act of sprinkling and pouring, the government is entirely changed. The act expressed by the active participle sprinkling takes effect upon the water, and the word people is governed by a preposition. The same remark applies to pouring. The act expressed by it takes effect upon the water or element poured, and the word people is governed by a preposition. Then, when the word baptizing in the commission is made to mean pour, it is the water that is baptized, because it is the thing poured. And when it is made to mean sprinkle, it is the water that is baptized, because it is the thing sprinkled. But when it means immersing, the command can be obeyed by the people, for they may be immersed but cannot be sprinkled or poured. But there is another difficulty involved in the idea of substituting sprinkling or pouring for immersion. The verb sprinkle means to scatter in drops, and is always followed by the material to be sprinkled, either expressed or understood. We may sprinkle blood, water, sand, or ashes on a man, but we cannot sprinkle a man on anything. We sometimes speak of sprinkling a man with water when we mean to sprinkle water upon him, but the language is an outrage upon all grammatical accuracy. If we say, we sprinkle a man with water, the language must mean one of two things. First, that we sprinkle, that is, scatter in drops, both the man and the water together, as we eat butter with our bread. Or second, that the water is the instrument with which we sprinkle or scatter the man, as we sprinkle water with a broom. In the first construction, the nouns man and water are the objects of the action expressed by the verb sprinkle. And in the second construction, the noun man is alone the object and water the instrument, either of which involves a physical impossibility. The verb pour means to turn out in a stream, and is followed by the thing poured, which must be something fluid or composed of small particles. It is as much possible to pour a man as it is to sprinkle him. But those who practice sprinkling, pouring, and immersion as baptism tell us that the only authority they have to baptize anybody is found in this verse, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. See Louisville Debate, page 15. Then, when they sprinkle water upon anyone as baptism, they derive authority from this verse. When they pour water upon anyone as baptism, they derive authority from this verse. And when they immerse a man in water as baptism, they get their authority from the same verse. Hence, the word baptizing must mean sprinkle, pour, and immerse in this one place in clear violation of the rule of interpretation which says, the sense of a word cannot be diverse or multifarious at the same time and in the same passage or expression. And again, in no language can a word have more than one literal meaning in the same place. Sprinkling, pouring, and immersion are three separate, distinct, and specific acts diverse from each other. Hence, they cannot all be used as the meaning of baptizing in this place. But, it may be said, that sprinkling and pouring are tropical meanings. This does not relieve the difficulty, for we have shown that immersing is the literal import. Hence, you cannot give a literal and tropical meaning to the same word in the same place. If you do, the word becomes multifarious, in violation of the laws of interpretation. Again, if sprinkling, pouring, and immersing are all required to make up the full import of the word indicating the command in this place, then no one has been baptized in obedience to the command until he has submitted to all three of these acts. That is, until he has had water sprinkled upon him, poured upon him, and has been immersed in it. But if it be insisted that in this one place the word authorizes one man to be immersed, another to have water sprinkled upon him, and a third to have water poured upon him, and that each case is a baptism, it follows that as they are different acts performed by different persons, each being a baptism, they are not one but three baptisms. And Paul was mistaken when he said that there is one baptism. For the phrase one baptism as much implies that there is but one baptism as does the phrase one God imply that there is but one God. Hence, we conclude that when the Lord said, go teach all nations, baptizing them, he intended one specific act and not three different acts. This one act is baptism. Nothing else is.